On the cover, Protean City is lit in red light. In the center, First and Jade Scarab stand back to back in the street as a horde of demons approach.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm the Jade Scarab, the dusk of a new era.
I'm First. When there's danger, no one comes faster. Wait, no!
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Team Champions, issue number 4, Demon Derby.
The first panel is a nice big splash that shows the dojo next to the pretty little park that it's near, and like the couple of roads, the buildings nearby, and it's all zoomed out because there's an enormous earthquake-style crack all the way across the frame, from which is just spouting smoke and hellfire and demons. And in just like a tiny, tiny little blip in the middle, we have our heroes, along with Lethal Locust and Beautiful Butterfly from the Legacy, and Miss DeVillis, who is the reason this whole thing is happening, because Hell is here to take her back.
Okay, let's not victim blame here.
She's the reason for the season. the reason this party's all here. And Hairpin, who is learning about community resources rather than villainy. But also is probably like, wait, I was supposed to be sacrificed? but
Hairpin is learning that villainy doesn't pay at all.
Yeah, it seems like Hairpin is a hero now.
Apparently DeVillis leaves out details.
Yeah, that checks out. So we get that big splash panel, and then we're gonna zoom in on the two of you. What are you doing? What do you do? There's a lot of problems. There's also, like, in that big wide shot we were able to see, there are civilians all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there are, like, flying bat-like demons that have spouted out from the hellcrack as well.
We have to start with, like, a small panel of just Noor and Zoe face-to-face, like, before we zoom back out to the action. Okay, we got this. We've been training for this. We just gotta figure out what we need to deal with, make a plan, execute. There's a lot of fires, both literally and otherwise, that we need to put out. Alright, what do we gotta deal with?
Okay, now, we've been training? Not for this.
Hey. One problem at a time. There's demons hurting the civilians. There are fires. I can't do much about putting out fire. Do you suck all the wind out of it or something?
I'm not, like, wind shears... I don't know where they are.
Okay, you know what? We'll
physics is complicated, and I'm not massive.
Okay. We'll leave the fires till later, and then there's the demon getting Mr. Villas.
Okay.
Can you get the civilians?
I'll get the civilians.
Okay, I'm counting on you.
You always can.
And we can see, like, in after those panels, we get over to essentially the exact same panels with Beautiful Butterfly and Lethal Locust. They're actually, like, on both sides of the page, having essentially the exact same conversation with Miss DeVillis and Hairpin just kind of, like, staring at all of this with just, like, shocked face looks on their faces. And so Beautiful Butterfly turns and sees that the two of you have finished your conversation, just, like, kind of, like, gets, like, a read on what the two of you have been saying. And nods and says, I'll take North End, you take South End. And just, like, zooms off to go on civilian saving duty.
Yeah. Just full butterfly wings burst out of the back of her costume and she flies off.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
and she's using like some of like the sort of like air bubble magic that we've seen like a little bit of you using, but with like like just incredible precision. And it's got like a bit of like a like the butterfly like scale effect that the wings have. And Lethal Locust looks to you, Jade Scarab, and says, "And we're on protection duty."
First time tussling with a demon?
No, not the first.
It is for me.
Third.
Third?
Yeah, third.
There's a moment of Noor just like, because I bet Noor's read like every single public report about their hero days and like everything. I can count two. You're going to have to tell me about the third later.
Are you missing Kansas or Kolkata?
Kolkata?
We'll talk about it later. And they just, they, do they have also like a full armor thing or?
Yeah, I think they've got a very Silver Age costume.
Okay.
That's like, I think we described it as green, a bright, like dark greens to match the sort of aesthetic of the Locust. You can describe this better because you know some comics stuff, but like, it's a very clearly Silver Age hero costume that's also blended with the armor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we've got like, we've got the kind of spandex silver look, but also it has like some bracers and maybe like a bit of like a half breastplate and some shoulder blade to get like a bit of that armored look as well.
I think the most distinct detail as well is right above like the heart area, there's a location where a sterling scarab brooch used to go. Like, that was the symbol of the Beatles. And there's an imprint of where it belongs, but it's not there.
Nice. Perfect. So, the two of you are kind of rushing off in different directions. We're going to go with first.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. And things are pretty bad out here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that there are, that there's, like, some demons that have, like, swung down and, like, are grabbing people from the ground and lifting them up into the sky. And Beautiful Butterfly is kind of like trying to deal with those because she's got the flight advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see also that there is one of like the big buildings nearby is on the fault line, which is bad enough structurally, but also like fire is shooting straight up into it. So you've got like, let's say you've got like 12 floors of people that are in quite a bit of danger in the middle of their business day.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going there first.
Okay, sounds good.
I think we have some panels of, like, she'll run past other civilians who are kind of, like, stocked and staring and, like, what the fuck is going on? And she just, like, spins them around and gives them a push away to start them moving. Like, perfect. No, don't stare, run.
But and these are Protean City civilians. They know for the most part to run.
It's yearly seminars since kindergarten.
Exactly.
What to do.
Yeah. And so this office building has like big glass doors, and you can see it's like it is filled with smoke in there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I'm gonna go right through the, like, is the fault line like right beneath the glass doors? Because I need to make an exit point that's not gonna just have people funneled into the hole.
Yeah, I think it is not. So that you can, like people can run in and out of the door if they are able to get down there.
Yeah, so it's just running in one floor at a time, pushing people towards the exit if they're, like, up and moving and their way's not obstructed, and helping people up if they need it and running them out.
Go ahead and roll to defend.
Cool. I should have cleared insecure, but I didn't. So that's a 7.
A 7, all right. So on a 7 to 9, you can expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. And you'll also add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition. Why don't you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation first?
I'm going to expose myself to danger, I think.
Okay, great. As you're running through, you have to like jump through flames a couple of times. Like, you are getting... you are in the thick of it. And you come to a point that, like, that you can see that there's a kind of bigger, like, everything is so smoke-filled, it's hard to get around, which in hallways is not too bad of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point that's kind of, like, a little bit more open, but still, like, it's a lobby of some office, but it's still just, like, densely, densely full of smoke. And, like, as fast as you're moving, you kind of start to, like, lose track of where you are. You've gotten a bunch of people out. You're up towards the top of the building at this point, because that's more exciting.
Yeah.
But you are definitely, like, lost in smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition?
I'm going to clear a condition, I think.
Okay.
Because I don't know who I'm protecting yet, and I'm not with the team.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to clear insecure, because I am in the thick of it, and I am saving people, and I am doing what I'm doing. I am being the goddamn fucking hero.
Perfect. And so, in the smoke, you hear...
Someone else is in here. Where are they?
And you can see just like this huge looming shape, just like wreathed in the smoke.
Mm.
It appears to be looking for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, it's looking for people in the smoke. It has smelled you.
I think Zoe's just gonna go, you have to get out of here. This building could come down any moment now.
And it just like steps forward out of the smoke, and you can see it is like a hulking minotaur looking form that has just like these gray demonic scales all over it. And instead of wings, where a lot of the other ones have wings, it has a second set of arms that have just like these horrible, cruel looking claws coming out of it. And it like just swings a hand down to try to grab hold of you. What do you do?
I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to like be 3 feet back from where I was before.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, yay. Someone dropped my freak early. Okay, so that's an 8.
So would you like to mark a condition, or shall I tell you how it's unstable or temporary?
I'd like it to be unstable or temporary.
Awesome. The Minotaur demon is like swings after you, and you like sprint back and find yourself kind of like tripping, like kind of like hitting into a door frame, and you stumble back into an office. And you hear like a little shriek, and you realize there's someone in the office with you, and you immediately recognize that shriek. That's your mom's voice.
Mm.
And she at work today, so she's currently hiding under her desk. We're going to hop back over to Jade Scarab. You are standing out. Have you found like a point? Where is this going to go down? Because there's going to be... These things are just causing a whole lot of havoc, but they're going to be going after Miss DeVillis primarily.
No, I think we've basically, so, like, last we saw us first had ran us all out to a park to try to get us away from people as possible. And I think we've moved to the center of the park just to try to, like, localize it away from the buildings as much as possible.
Makes sense.
And I think, like, we've set up a clearing so that we have vision of anything that's coming.
Awesome. And... up from the ground are rising these armored shapes that have like all manner of bladed weaponry. They're wearing like this like chitinous armor that has like spikes and sharp edges and everything. And they just like drag their blades on the ground that leaves like little lines of flame and smoke. There's six of them that kind of circle around you, and one of them raises a enormous knife that looks like a butcher's knife towards Miss DeVillis and says,
"We're just here for her."
Okay, question: what I think of a line?
Yeah.
What is the like hell pit openings doing to the environment? Like, is it just fire everywhere? Is it affecting the sky somehow? Like, what does the scene look like?
The sky definitely has turned reddish. Cool. It's like it's got like red clouds, let's say. So you can see like other areas of Protean City have just like gray clouds, but up above is red clouds. It has gotten so hot. And like there's like a lot of ash in the air.
Are the clouds doing the swirling thing?
Oh, it's definitely doing the swirling thing. Yeah. But it's a slow swirl.
Yeah.
And there's like crackles of red lightning.
Yes.
Okay, so Jade Scarab is gonna walk up towards the six demons and just completely ignore what they said. Go, you know, there's a fun side effect of you all opening a bunch of portals to hell. You know, hell, duat, different words for the same concept in many cultures. The afterlife, the realm of magic. And that lets me do things like this. And Noor takes a step forward, and before the sentence even finishes, is gonna blink behind the demons. Since the sun is covered and hell is open, she can access some of her night powers, or at least hope she can. And is gonna try to wrap them up in the scarf and take them down by just like weaving in and out between them by a mix of speed and movement to entangle them all and take them down.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay, that's a 5 on the first dice, which is, hey, that's a 6 on the second die, which is a grand total of 10 with my minus 1.
Perfect. So you can resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I am going to resist and avoid their blows.
Nice.
And I am going to take something from them. I'm going to take their blades from them. So what happens is Noor blinks behind the first one, goes for a punch, a feint that's similar to like what she tried to throw at Queen Bee that time, and then wraps her scarf around the hilt of the blade and weaves in between each of these six demons, wrapping her scarf around the blades and then dematerializing one final time and taking the blades with her. And then all that's left is the scarf wrapped around each of their arms as she like tosses them to the ground.
Awesome. Yes, we get those panels quickly through, and the demon knights kind of start to converge and just move closer.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the one that spoke before, holds out a hand and like tries to catch on it to you. Mm-hmm. But you're able to slip past and just like you can feel the wind from their claw like coming so close to your head. And then he reaches then towards Miss DeVillis and just closes a fist, and she drops down to her knees and like immediately grabs her hands around her own throat. Like she's like trying to like signal that she's being choked. Lethal Locust is also there. They are just like immediately in combat with two of these demon knights. Like they just jump them, and it's just flurry of feet and knees and stick just laying them out, but they are not slowing. These things are sturdy as hell.
Yep. Noor is going to look towards the demon thing holding the giant Mr. Villas and go, hey, why do you pick on someone your own size? Going to try to appear in between the demon and Mr. Villas and blast them with light powers.
Go ahead and roll to defend.
Yeah.
Because I think your intention is to defend, not to attack right now, right?
Agreed. Okay, that's a 7 on the dice plus 2. So that's a 9.
Nice. You can expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. And then you'll add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Let's expose myself to danger.
Cool. And then would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition?
Let's take influence over Mr. Villas.
Cool. So she's like, you see her seeing you jumping into the way. And there's like a look of appreciation as she lets out like a gasp of air. And then you just feel all over your body the sensation of like hands just squeezing onto your skin, with like long nails. Like you can feel it like trying to like get a grasp of you through its horrific mental powers. And we're going to jump back into the office. First, you can see your mom has kind of started to like peek her head around the corner of her desk.
Mm-hmm.
She has a pair of scissors in her hand.
Great.
And she's in like, she's in her like work clothes, which has like, it's, one of those, like, it's like a little bit of like a power dress suit, that has like the skirt, but is still like very, like has like big shoulders, big, she's trying to make her way up in this company. And she's got the padded shoulders to make it happen. She kind of like looks around the corner and goes, "Who's there?"
First, like, freezes for a moment when she realizes whose office she's in. And she's like, "Shit." And then probably makes an effort to, like, pitch her voice up a bit more. And she's like, "Miss, I'm first, and we need to get you out of here. The building is on fire, and there is a demonic minotaur. So we're going out through the window."
Oh my god. Through the window?
Don't worry. I do it all the time. It will be perfectly safe.
I shouldn't go through the window. I have a kid. I need to get home. I can't go through okay. I'm not going through a window. We're on the 10th floor. I'm not going through a window.
You have to work with me here. There is a minotaur on the other side of that door.
And you can hear like it like slamming a hand on the on the wall next to the office. And goes,
"Two of you."
And so, why don't you go ahead and provoke someone, actually?
Cool. Great. There we go. That's a 4.
She, like, stands up and is standing like in the smoke and has the scissors in her hand. She's ready to defend herself against you. And she just says, "You're the hero. You need to find a different way. If you think I'm jumping out that window, then you've got another thing coming, miss. You need to find a different way for me to get out, or I'm gonna get out on my own." And she's raising your danger and lowering your savior. She's like, you're not showing me that you're here to save me. You're showing me that you're one of these ridiculous heroes that thinks everything is, that it's fine for things to be dangerous.
Okay, I'm gonna try and reject that. Historically not something I'm good at. But I rolled a 10.
Nice. All right.
Hell yeah.
Weird day for Zoe.
So when you reject someone's influence on a hit, you successfully hold to yourself and tune them out. Mm-hmm. On a 10 plus, choose 2. You can clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one down, your choice. Or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense, I am going to listen to my mother here, and I'm going to shift my superior up and my danger down, because she's saying, you need to be smarter about this.
Okay, cool. And I dig it.
I think that's what I'm going to do there. That won't bite me in the butt later. It'll be fine. I'm going to then clear afraid by just, I'm going to like walk up, take the scissors from her, set them on the desk, and be like, I wasn't thinking about jumping. And like, just like sweep my mom with the arm around the waist, step out of the window, carrying her with me, and just run down the side.
Nice.
And then set her on the ground outside.
Yeah. And we get a panel that shows you running her down, and she's like clinging on to you for dear life. And we see the Minotaur just leaning out of the building and like seeing you down there. And just letting go and starting to fall after you. So you get her down. I assume you don't drop her right next to the burning building.
No, like the other side of the street.
Yeah. So you run her over there. The Minotaur hits the ground just like a couple seconds after you get her safely set down. And it looks at you and just gives this huge grin and says,
"Heroes taste better."
And just like flexes the forearms and charges at you.
Cool.
I'm going to charge at it, but before we like collide, I'm going to do kind of like a front flip to hit, land on like the back of its neck and then kick off to just like shove it down into the ground.
Nice.
Yeah. And then land on the other side.
All right. Go ahead and roll that directly engage a threat.
Awesome. That's an 8.
That's an 8. All right. So on a 7 to 9, you can resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I want to take their attention from them because I want to make sure they're focused on me and not going to go after other civilians like my mom, who's still nearby.
All right. So you like slam them and get the hit in, and their face like goes down to the dirt for a second. But one of their arms that's like sprouted from their back reaches back and just grabs a hold of the bunny ears to your hoodie.
Yep.
And it just lifts you up in the air from those. So you're held in a position, like you are basically, it holds you up to its big like bull face and snorts out smoke and just like opens its mouth to show these terrible chompers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and go back to that fight against the knights. At this point, I think Lethal Locust is dealing with two of them.
Yep.
Three of them have you kind of surrounded, and Miss DeVillis is in like hand-to-hand combat with the last one.
Okay.
And you can like, even as you are fighting them, you feel like tension, as though like you can feel that they've got like psychic hold around you that's like slowing down your movements a little bit, making it harder to move, and trying to pull out your fears and insecurities.
So I think like Noor is feeling this happening and is feeling herself slip a little in the fight, and realizes she needs to ground herself somehow. And she's going to try to do that by reminding herself of what it means for her to be a hero. Okay. And Hairpin's still around, right?
Yes. Yeah, Hairpin is with you all.
Noor turns. All right, Hairpin. Damien, this is your chance.
What? No.
Yes, you. Look, you might not think it, but you have it in you. I saw how you threw those blades earlier. You've got potential. And right now, people are counting on you. And I'm going to immediately, as like one comes in, they have they don't have swords anymore. Never mind. Oh
no, yeah, wait, they're perfect. Just using. They're just like, trying to like grab. Yeah,
yeah. So I think what's happened, the swords disappeared before, and suddenly, gonna reach out, like Noor blips out and blips back in with one of the swords, and is going to like block the strike of the first one coming at her. Then they're going to twirl around and try to like sweep the second one and then trap the third one with the blade so that Damien has an opportunity.
Nice.
Does this count as pulling my punches since I'm not actually like stabbing with the sword? I'm just using it defensively?
I think so, yeah.
Cool. Then I can roll with Savior and hopefully this goes all right. That's a 4. I needed that because that's a 6 on the dice, which comes together to a nice 8.
Very nice.
I'll create that opportunity and I will not resist blows.
Okay, cool.
So I will create an opportunity for my allies, for Damien to try to strike in.
Awesome. So we get this flurry from you where you're moving like so artfully from target to target, and you like pin the last one and like hold them down to be in a situation that Damien can take the shot. And for a moment, Damien just freezes. One of the knight that is closest to you, like the knight that you kind of got held, its mask rises up and there's just nothing beneath it. And we see this energy just pulling and swapping between you and it. So like there's like the energy that we've seen you use, and like this like burning hot hell energy just like spreading and mixing in the air. And it's primarily pulling into this Hell Knight. Go ahead and clear a condition.
Ooh. Clear a condition.
Yes.
I clear insecure.
Cool. Now underline that.
Okay.
Just so we can remember.
The insecure demon cleared.
Thank you very much. And then we get a panel that just shows Damien just like jumping in the air and flinging blades, and they land true in the necks of each of the Hell Knights that you are holding, and each of them just crumples. And we can see now that Damien is glowing with this like weird silvery energy that definitely has not been there before.
Noor looks up.
Are you doing this?
I'm not doing this. Are you doing this?
I'm not doing this.
And Noor smiles with science. Knew you had hero in you.
And we see Lethal Locust in the background just like get a hold of one of the knights and just like rip its helmet off.
Yeah.
So that just like rip its head and helmet off and just like drop to the ground and go, all right, this is more or less handled, I guess. And from the pit rises just this enormous snake that just like comes up. It is like, we're talking like its neck is like as thick as a bus. And it rises and looks directly to Miss DeVillis and hurls towards her with its mouth wide open. First.
Hey!
You're being held by your bunny ears.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you do?
I think, like, the Minotaur is, like, snarling and belching smoke at me, so first, like, coughs, and she's like, don't they have dentists in hell? And then I'm gonna bring up both feet and kick against their chest to, like, push myself free of their grasp.
Nice. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Cool. That's a 10.
All right. So on a hit, you do it.
Yeah.
So you like bounce off of its chest and kick yourself free.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns. It's looking straight at you. It just like slams a foot down and like leaves a crack radiating out from its foot. And then is just going to charge you again.
Yeah, I'm going to like move back in for the charge, get low, grab one of the arms, twist. When they taught me how to do the throw, they said put the valley on the tree. You kind of like position the center of your hip against the person's thigh and mm-hmm. just like arc your back and let their momentum flip them into the ground and just slam him down.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll directly engage a threat.
Sure.
If there's one thing this Minotaur has, it's probably a lot of momentum.
Yes.
All right, that's a 9.
All right, so are you going to resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, or create an opportunity for your allies?
I want to take their mobility from them. I want to just, like, jam those horns deep into the pavement so they're kind of, like, stuck there for a while.
Cool, I like that. Yeah, so you use the turn, you use his momentum against mm-hmm. him, and his face is just down into the pavement. You did take a hit from it, though.
Yeah.
As you are dragged down, as you are like knocking it down,
mm-hmm.
one of its claws manages to just grab onto the back of your shirt, and it just like pulls you down with it. And like you are currently like trapped underneath one of its arms. And you feel as it hits the ground
mm-hmm.
and like its horns go all the way in, it came in with a ton of force. And it hits the ground and it just slumps unconscious. So you are underneath quite a bit of its mass, but it is in sleepy time mode.
Yay.
And your mom is going to run over at this point. And she has found a big rock, like a rock, just like a little bit, like a little bit bigger than a baseball, and has it like held ready to swing at something.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees you, like, she's looking at the Minotaur and looking at you, and she reaches down a hand to try to help you, like, pull out of there. You probably don't need her help to do that, but she's offering a hand anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna, like, take the hand and pull myself out with their help, and I'm gonna mark potential because I just hit my drive of take down a threat all on your own.
Nice.
like at this point, I pull myself free, but the precious bunny hoodie has had enough, and it kind of like tears itself to shreds as pulled free.
It's like hooked on like a little bit of like the Minotaur's armor.
Yeah, like he's got the grip on the hoodie and it's hooked onto spikes and stuff, and it's just like shredded and pulled away, and now I'm just standing there in cargo shorts and a t-shirt.
And your mom is like just staring at you, and she says, "Oh my god." And we get the sticker that has like the name redacted.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
I'm saving people.
And like her eyes are immediately filled with tears, and like she's like heavy bawling at this point, just like immediately. And she goes, "No, you can't do this. You can't. You're not a superhero. This isn't who you are." And then she like looks up and down you and goes, "First is, you're nothing like First. I've seen First on the news. That's not you. Where did you get this costume?" And if we need to X at any point or slow anything down or anything, let me know, okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
That does sound like a label shift, though.
Yes, that is definitely a label shift. You're right. That would be your savior down and your mundane up.
Okay. And I'm going to reject that.
All right.
Crossed. It's a great thing you got rid of that insecure.
It is great. Oh. Perfect. It's a 7.
So you get to choose one.
I'm going to clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Also, when my secret identity is revealed to someone who didn't know it already, I also mark potential.
Oh, nice.
You don't know anything about me!
And she's, like, stunned for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you've seen her go into, like, I'm bringing down my foot mode 1,000 times. And you can see, like, that she's ready to come back at you again.
I'm going to just put my finger up like, no, my name is Zoe, and I am going to save everyone.
And she like closes her eyes for a second, and like you can see she's like trying to process information. And she says, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was going to leave.
Perfect. Yeah. And she like, we get like a panel of her just like standing there next to this like enormous downed Minotaur, just going, Zoe. And so I think our next panel, just like show, are you going to show up with your hood up or?
No, the hoodie's gone.
Oh, the hoodie's gone.
The hoodie's dead.
Are you doing anything to conceal your identity, or are you not going towards the fight?
I'm going towards the fight. I think I'm going to grab like a spare scarf or something from the dojo.
Cool.
Because I know where like the lost and found bin is.
Yeah.
I have like around the bottom half of my face.
You also have the thing where you disguise your face in light.
Which, yeah, I also like shine light, but
yeah.
I mean,
I think your mom can see through that because of your like hair and stuff, but no one else would like, I feel like for most people, just having a bright face would cover that.
All right. And so we get the panel that shows you like, that shows the inside of the dojo and then shows the, pink, white, and blue swirl of your speed go by, and like the lost and found door was closed and now it's open, and like there's like something just like spinny, there's a one of those like little pinwheels that's like spinning
in the background. There is the person from the restaurant across the street here with like what was supposed to be our second course of the meal, and just like they were about to say something to Zoe, and then just, I'm gonna put this down over here.
Perfect. And then we're back in like the arena. There's just this gigantic snake. It's got like poison dart frog, like yellow and red colors, like really show off how dangerous and scary it is, which I guess you still need in hell. And it just like turns its head, and as Zoe's running into the middle, it blows just a line of fire all around the outside to like trap all of you here with it.
Surrender the demon, and you live.
Surrender you? Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Demon surrenders and we live. That's great.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Food just arrived.
I turned around to first. Oh, hey, you made it.
You expect me to be late?
Never.
I think Lethal Locust steps forward and just like stands in front of all of you and says, you can stop now. We're going to win, no matter what you do. You cannot stop us. We have the will and the strength and the training. And this ends badly for you. Let the girl go.
In other words, why don't you hiss off?
That's amazing.
And it is just going to hurl itself right towards Lethal Locust. Its mouth opens up and it has these like, it has the normal huge snake mouth. But like behind the first row of teeth is like another row of teeth and another row of teeth. And it just is like coming straight down towards them to have a little snack. And you can see yeah. that Lethal Locust is not going to react quickly yeah. enough.
Mind if I snake right in? And I would like to step in between them and use my magic weaponry to create a staff of light similar to the ones that Locust are using. And I want to use it to like jam open the snake's mouth. Like
awesome.
Stick it right inside and hold it back. The whole like get it in there and just push.
Go ahead and roll to defend.
Okay, that's a 6 on the first one. So this can't go bad. Okay. That is... Oh, that's perfect. That is a 9 plus 2 minus 2. So that's a 9. If a team wants to be spent, it can be a 10. Now that we have a team in the same place.
I would love to spend a team.
Cool. What does that look like?
It's got to be the classic Zoe move of just shining a bright light in the bad guy's eyes.
Could I suggest an alternative?
Oh, sure.
What if Noor isn't going to get it fast enough so you dash next to me and help me hold it in place so like we could be like right next to each other?
Hell yeah, that is way better.
Nice. Great. And so would you like to add team to the pool, take influence over Lethal Locust, or clear a condition?
I'm going to clear insecure at this point.
Nice. You've blocked this, and the snake is like trying to bite at you. It has like 3 tongues that are whipping out and like trying to grab the stick and pull it away while it's trying to like open its mouth big enough to get around it. Down on the ground, Hairpin is running to the side and like flinging everything that they've got, but it's just tink, tink, tinking off the side. This is they are ineffective right now. And you can see out of the corner of your eyes that Miss DeVillis has started to just rise up in the air. She looks to be unconscious, and it's like someone has her by the scruff and is just lifting her up into the sky.
So Noor's gonna turn to Zoe real quick. What happened to your hoodie?
I put it through too much, I guess.
Oh, well, we could look at getting you a new one, or maybe like a costume?
I've been thinking about it.
Hey, so I got the snake, I think. I say as like a tongue licks my face, like gets really close to like...
I love it.
Do you wanna... Points at Miss DeVillis.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get her back down. I'm gonna just jump up and grab onto Miss DeVillis and drag her back down to the ground.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Sure. And that's an 11.
All right, excellent. So you jump and you grab hold of her ankles, and there's like a minute that it looks like she's going to just keep pulling you upward,
mm-hmm.
but slowly she starts to lose elevation, and then like the second her feet hit the ground, her body just slumps down on its side. And you can see that she's kind of like fighting for consciousness, but that there's something ensorcelling her.
Okay.
This is not normal unconscious. This is demon unconscious.
Advanced unconscious. I'm not, to the very best of my knowledge, very magically inclined.
Not as far as I knew either.
Who knows how my powers work? Least of all me. Is Beautiful Butterfly around? Or
she's been like saving civilians around the place. You can probably see her. But she's probably not, like, immediately there next to you.
What I'm going to do is, like, hold my hand out and do, like, kind of like the flashlight SOS signal and try and get her attention and get her to come down here.
Awesome. I think she would catch that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her knowing she's a professional.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got that on lock. And if nothing else, she's seeing a bright light and, like, looking over and seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to, like, dive bomb towards you and just, like, she doesn't do the 3-point landing. She does like the super graceful one where you like swing down and just are like hit the ground and are walking at the same time.
She's so cool.
So she takes like three steps and kneels down next to Miss Davilas.
Mm-hmm.
Starts just like doing something. You can't understand exactly what she's saying. She's using magical language and doing something about the ensorcelment, hopefully.
Okay. That's good. That's what I am hoping for. Can I help you at all, or should I go back to Giant Snake?
Giant Snake. And it's just like, there's her speaking through what she's doing and like using her magic. And mm-hmm. then like Giant Snake's kind of snuck in within the text of her speech.
Beautiful.
Cool.
And you're inside a mouth.
Yes. I'm inside a mouth, and standing right behind me is Lethal Locust. I want to use words of the past in a kind of weird way.
Okay.
So I'm going to, mainly I want to kind of use it to see if I can get like an item from Lethal Locust is what I'm thinking. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm standing in the mouth of the snake, and I'm going to just turn behind me to Lethal Locust, who is like a half centimeter behind because I saved them from the being where I am. Hey, quick question. You spent time with Butterfly, right?
That's a very,
Have they ever given you a Hamsa or a Nazar or a warding amulet of any kind?
Yes.
Do you think
we're teammates?
Snake? I feel like there's a loud hiss punctuating my point.
Yeah, there's like a loud hiss and like your hand reaching out for it.
Yeah.
And like the three tongues like wrapped around your hand as you're reaching for it.
It's not a djinn, but like I figured djinn, demons, different mythologies for the same concept. Warding totem, please.
Yes. They like reach into their shirt real quick and pull out a like a warding necklace that looks exactly like what you'd be looking for.
Yeah.
It looks like it has been there for Evskis. They do not take it off, and they like press it into your hand immediately.
It's a Hemsa, so it's one of those basically the hands with the eye in the middle. But on the back is also because like the duality of like the traditions that she works with, there is a Eye of Horus inscribed on the back as well.
Fantastic.
Perfect. Thank you. And with that, I feel like Noor just like the snake like closes on Noor.
Perfect. Yeah, the outside lips just like slam shut, and the teeth are just like getting closer and closer.
Okay, you can do this. You've never done this. You can do this. You got this. And I think Noor's going to start reciting some wards against evil.
I'd like you to directly engage a threat.
Yeah.
What label do you think is best for doing this?
Okay. It's either mundane or superior.
Okay.
Because it's either use of knowledge or use of like personal belief and humanness, right? I think the two that.
I was leaning towards superior.
Fair. All right, let's see how this goes. Well, that's an 8, so that's a 7.
Very nice. So you get to pick one. You can resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Is it too much to take their connection to this plane? Or at least weaken it?
I think you can remove... I think you can take the tether that ties them to the plane.
That would be perfect.
And that actually, I think, is maybe exactly the kind of thing that you would want to do.
Yeah. So take the tether that ties them to this plane.
Okay, cool. So you... Oh, God, I'm so sorry for everything. You set the warding forward, and like you start to channel through it, and your skill in this and your belief, like power, and just generate in ways that you have not seen before. Because like you have skill in magic, but the skill in magic plus Beautiful Butterfly's created device is just like it's in a new gear.
Yep.
We see the snake start to like flicker in this weird way, and there's just this red rope that appears for a moment that is connecting its throat to the throat of Miss Davilas. And in that second that it's there, we get a panel that shows both you and beautiful butterfly seeing it and just dragging the ward through that line.
Mm-hmm.
And it like snaps back hard, and Miss DeVillis is kind of like hurled backward by it. And the snake is like, its head just rears back and it shoots out flame and smoke from its eyes. And then it has a second of recovery, and you feel someone's forearm wrap around your throat. And we get a panel that shows you and that same like armored Hell Knight look based on your armor, with its arm around your neck. And it just whispers to you. It was insecure, right?
Yep.
Give in to your insecurity. There's nothing you can do to save these people. You aren't good enough. Give in to your insecurity and falter.
So I think as that said, they close their eyes for a minute. And there's a flashback to our first run, to Miss DeVillis smashing us into the ground and getting away, to Queen Bee stealing the scepter, to other moments off-panel or in other comic runs where Noor has failed, right? And Noor just shrugs. Maybe I'm not, right? I mean, there's no real thing that makes me special, but I'm the one here who's trying, so... Maybe I will fail. Maybe I'll ruin everything again and again. But as long as I have the choice to keep trying, I'm going to take it. No demon is going to make me stop that.
Go ahead and roll to reject its influence.
Yeah. Snake eyes.
Oh my god.
Okay. When you fail, when you fall into insecurity, I'll be waiting. And... then it dissipates, and you can feel how close you were to just having your will fall completely. Mm-hmm. Your power and your armors are powered by your will.
Yep.
We've seen how they crack when you lose that will.
Yep.
Until this is resolved in the future, if insecure is marked, you will not have your powers.
Cool. I like this. Is it currently marked, do we think? I think
no.
It makes sense. Okay.
No. Your call. Are you feeling insecure right now?
So, I mean, like, it was close, but as far as she knows, she won.
Yeah.
She doesn't realize the full extent of the damage yet, so yeah, I don't know if she is yet.
This is for the audience.
Yeah, it's for the audience. Cool. I love this.
And first.
That's me.
Yes. There is a snake out here. Miss DeVillis appears to be recovering.
Mm-hmm.
The snake definitely is like thrown back. It's on its heels, if it had heels. And your friend is in its mouth. What do you do?
Probably gonna pull my friend out of the giant snake mouth. That seems like the good thing to do.
Cool. Go ahead and roll to defend.
Cool. I'm good at that. 9. Do I have influence over Jade Scarab?
Yes, almost certainly.
So that's a 10.
Great. All right. So would you like to add team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition?
I already have influence. I don't have any conditions, so I'll add a team to the pool.
Cool. So you zoom into its mouth, squeeze past the teeth, squeeze past more teeth, get to your friend, and drag her out.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Lethal Locust stands forward and says, "We finish this now." And they just dive forward, like spinning their stick. And I want each of you to give me, first, I want each of you to give me a panel with an NPC and a panel with you, just kicking some butt and taking this thing down.
I'd like Miss DeVillis to like wake up enough to just hurl that car she smashed into the snake's face.
Nice.
I think there's a panel of beautiful butterfly in the background, seeing Miss DeVillis up, immediately puts up like a barrier around the circle of flames, containing the snake inside so that there's no room for it to escape and there's no room for any like outburst of magic from this to hurt anything else.
Awesome.
Because that's her job.
And Hairpin is just like running forward, just hurling everything they've got, just shot after shot after shot up towards squishy bits like eyes. And now the two of you.
I think Jayscare is going to turn to first who picked her up, like was like holding her as she pulled her out of the snake mouth. And go, want to charge in together?
Sounds like a plan.
I feel like we got like a maneuver where you like run us back and then run us forward for like a super speed punch with the both of us.
Awesome.
So first like holds out her hand.
Yeah.
To Jade.
Jade takes it.
Yeah. And I think first like sprints as fast as she can and then stops maybe like 30 meters away and just slingshots Jade Scarab.
Perfect. And as that's happening, Jade Scarab is like pulling in all the light she can pull in and concentrating it in front of her fist.
Perfect. And we just get those two fists hitting at the same time. And the snake is just like rears back and the scales just like burst off of it. And it is just like a skeleton. And it just falls down and these like enormous like fossil sized bones hitting the ground. And just as quickly as everything turned to hell, it stops. And all of the demons out there just shrivel up into bones in seconds. And you're all standing there with Miss DeVillis saved. I think Lethal Locust looks to the two of you and says, well fought. That brings back memories.
Memories?
So question, if the one that we don't technically name from our mythology that tries to eat the world is also a giant snake, am I going to have to do this again?
Different snake, and hopefully not.
Okay, but what about, like, Jormungandr from Norse mythology? Is that one going to show up next?
Different snake.
How many giant snakes are there?
Actually, a few. There's a bunch of cultures with world snakes.
Quetzalcoatl, starts, like, listing off a bunch of others. And just says, like, you know, when you get that many people agreeing, maybe it's just right, but different snakes. And I think at that point, Zoe's mom's going to come up. She still has this rock in her hand. And, like, you can see, like, her knuckles are, like, white from holding on to it so tightly. And she puts on, like, boss mom voice and just goes, first, could I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, I think first, like, goes pale. It's like, shit. I'll be back.
Nur's gonna, like, lean into Zoe and be like, do you want me with you? Or I can just be right here if you need anything, okay?
I know where to find you if I need it. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. And she's gonna, like, walk over towards her mom, kind of like holding one arm, you know, like nervous.
You said Zoe?
Yeah.
Is that just while you're first?
I mean, so far, with first, with Emily, with some friends.
So it's not just a superhero thing?
No, it's kind of before the superhero thing.
Okay. I have a wonderful, smart, responsible daughter that doesn't put on tights and fight demons in the park. I love you, but you cannot keep doing this.
Oh, God.
And we got X card right here in case we need it.
I'm doing great.
Okay, cool. I just want to be sure.
I said, oh God, because that's another label shift. Oh God, everything's a label shift with me.
That is mundane up and savior down.
Gonna reject that. At least the last part of that. I liked the first part. The first part was very nice. And I think that's a 12.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I do think choose two.
Zoe was like tearing up and like, she had been looking down, you know, kind of shame, and looks up at her mom, and she's starting to smile, and she's like, oh, I have a wonderful daughter who's smart. And then she goes to, like, and you don't do superhero stuff, and that's not who I am. I'm going to shift my mundane down and my danger up.
Nice.
And they'll be like, I love you, Mom, but this is who I am. I have these powers, and I fight demons in office buildings and giant snakes and giant bees and giant ladies and everything so much bigger than me, but I still fight and I save people and I help people, and I want you to accept me, but I need you to accept all of me.
And she's like, definitely, like, tears down the face, the whole thing. And she says, well, tell your friend to get you some armor, too. You're out here in a hoodie? That's ridiculous. You need to get a lot of armor. Lots okay. of armor.
I'll get some armor.
Okay. Good job.
So he just hugs her mom. Yeah.
Yeah, big hug. Big hug.
Just huge. Both of them are just sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Where do we join the two of you for our last little denouement scene? And is there anyone else there?
I think where depends on if there's anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
My
first instinct is, like, cleaning up the dojo, because the dojo's had a really rough day.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Cool. So let's just grab, like, a quiet moment for just the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have, like, in the background, Mr. Villas is moving some of the bigger pieces of rubble.
I feel like Mr. Villas is moving the car that he set up as a bomb.
Yeah. Beautiful butterflies, probably doing a bunch of magical heavy lifting as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Lethal Locust and Hairpin probably there's being less helpful.
There's very awkward panels of, like, whatever was hung up on the wall, Hairpin trying to hang it up using their hair blades, like giant nails, and, like, they keep falling out of the wall. It's just this comedy gag happening in the background.
Command strips. And then the two of you.
That chat seemed like it went well.
Yeah. I kind of feel dumb for not having it sooner now. But
hey, it's okay. It's hard to know how it'll go, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked out.
Thanks. I'm glad that I knew I had you if I needed you.
Yeah. Well, I can't just leave you. Who else is going to help me clean up this place?
Oh, you mean Locust isn't great at cleaning up?
We both turn to where Locust is. Just very fastidiously, I feel like, organizing some of the weapons or something. Doing anything to avoid helping.
And just, like, openly watching Beautiful Butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Moving around a little bit of equipment, but just, like, kind of dazed off staring.
I don't particularly think so, especially not today. We do need to get you a replacement for that bunny hoodie, though.
I saved, like, a grad student from a lab fire a couple weeks ago. She said something about photo manipulative cloth that sounded cool. So I might be able to reach out to her about some stuff. My mom probably wants me in a full suit of armor.
I feel like if she had her way, you'd be inside a full medieval suit of armor, inside of a mech, inside of a mobile bunker.
Yep.
That was also inside like a greater bunker that wasn't mobile.
Hopefully we can find a nice middle ground.
I'm sure that she'll get around to it eventually.
How are you doing?
What's a few stabbings and demon incursions?
Oh, from the way Locust talks about it, Thursday?
Oh, yeah, homework I need to do. Well, no, got a little close in there with the demon, but I think things are fine. I mean, I feel fine. The armor's working fine. I'm sure nothing bad will come of it.
If anything does, you know I'm here for you.
Yeah, not if I'm there first.
And at that, we have it like a panel that's zoomed out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the two of you just, like, sitting and talking and having a good time. But especially astute readers will be able to see that there's a reflection off of a pitcher of water that shows Jade Scarab and a yellowish outline of an additional jade scarab looming behind, waiting.
On the last page of the comic is a map of an unfamiliar island and a blank bracket. It's time for the annual March Maskness competition. 64 young heroes from 15 different podcasts will compete in a winner-takes-all, single-elimination tournament to find who is the greatest hero. Follow at March Maskness on Twitter or watch the March Maskness hashtag. Vote in the tournament starting March 1st to help your favorite heroes win.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy.
This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at @BLeonGambetta. Jade Scarab is played by Amar Amaraz, who can be found on their Twitter at @Amaraz for all game design and podcasting news, as well as on Hutopia and the Musafir podcast. First is played by Alice Kira, who can be found on Twitter at @MagicalGirlKira, and you can find her games at magical-girl-kira.itch.io. You can also find Alice in the Unlabeled AP podcast, another Masks podcast. You can find them on Twitter at @UnlabeledAP with two L's, or anywhere podcasts are sold.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.